Blog Talk Radio.
Sacrifices of
it ain't no need for multiplication, no long division, no subtraction or any other type of mathematics. Just trust in Yahweh's word and what he say will happen.
It's the delight of my soul, the only thing that controls. This is the sweetest of roll that I ate in this hole. You know it's the Almighty, the one who's always right. Be you see the light in the sky, you know it's day. And then it's night when the lesser light shines. It's the most sublime, the most profound, the illest sound. Never heard round this town, round this globe. It be the Torah of Yahweh Elohim.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. First and foremost, giving all praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel, to the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is there and is, by saying hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Once again, the creator has allow me to come before you another day, bringing to you his great and exalted and holy words, even the words of Yah. My name is Moray Ishaya Yisrael of the House of Israel, located right here in Cincinnati, Ohio, 1907 Vine Street, bringing to you nothing but the truth. And yes, it is true. All we're going to do is tell you the truth. For Yah ordained me to tell you the truth. So this is what I'm going to do. And who is this Yah? Yah is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is there and is. Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, whom you may know as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yah is our king. He's our judge. He's our lawgiver. And Yahweh is our only savior, and not just of Israel, but Yah is the savior of the world. And I praise Yah for allowing us to come before you once again, bringing to you his great and exalted words. Tonight we're going to discuss the knowledge of life. Oftentimes, and unfortunately, we, the inhabitants of the earth, take life for granted. Here it is. We got people roaming the world and out of space and all kind of different places, going to very different planets, looking for life. When the very life that they have no respect, they have no honor, and they have no regard for the very life that's in the palm of their hands, that's in their own bodies and soul. And there's many things that you must know and the Creator wants you to know about life. You got our enemies convincing our people, convincing the inhabitants of the whole earth, that life began with a single cell or Big Bang Theory or one single this and one single that, and just telling you the truth. And what is the truth? Life began with the Most High. The Creator said He is our life and the length of our days. And you would think that if we had this knowledge of life, that we will be more responsible with it. Not only we have no regard for the life of another man, we don't even have regard for our own life itself. This is why when I read certain scriptures, and let me tell you this before I even begin to get into the scriptures, here we are in the last days, and still our people are not even thinking about life at all, not even considering it. The value of life. But I can assure you, life will become precious to you when it's too late. And that's typically how it happens. But I'm trying to show you that life can be full. And you understand what I mean by full. Let me show you a couple of scriptures. For instance, in the book of Genesis, the 25th chapter, and we're talking about the knowledge of life. What's more important than talking about life in the last days? And I may add that we're going to be dealing with this at our summer conference. And you'll hear a lot more about this on the Sabbath day. But in the book of Genesis, the 25th chapter, and watch what this says. It's kind of funny because when I begin to look at this, this is, it's not the first person that this happened to, but this is the first person that is spoke of in this manner. And watch what it says. I'll start at the very first verse. Genesis 25. Then again, Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah. And she bare him Zimran and Jokshan and Medan and Midian, Ishbak and Shuah. And Jokshan begot Sheba and Dedan. And the sons of Dedan were Ashurim and Luktushim and Lumayim. And the sons of Midian, Ephah, Epher, Hanak, Abida, Eldah. All these were the children of Keturah. And Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac, but unto the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac his son, while he yet lived eastward unto the east country. Now watch what this says in the 7th and 8th verse. And these are the days of the years of Abraham's life which he lived, 153 years. So how long did Abraham live? 175 years. And that's a long time. But this is what you want to know that's important about this statement. And that is the 8th verse. It says, and Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man, full of years, and was gathered to his people. So what is this letting us know? This let us know that when Abraham died, he was full of years. In other words, he was complete. He lived out the expectation and the expectancy of his life. But I can assure you, this is not a common thing. This is actually rare. It's actually unique. It's actually peculiar, because most people die before their time. And you're going to see why people do. Here it is. You got your enemies who just want to make money off of you. They would sell you all kind of pills and potions and all kind of things, calling it the fountain of youth, making you believe, having you to think, causing you to get wrapped up in all kind of vanity so that you can feel younger, be younger, and stretch your life out by certain methods, when all of us got an expected time to our end. So instead of us fulfilling years of vanity, doing things that are meaningless, you would think that we will spend our time trying to live out the fullness of our days. Watch what it said about someone else. Let's see in the book of 1 Chronicles, the 23rd chapter. In the book of 1 Chronicles 23, And what are we speaking on? The knowledge of life. And let's see if what our enemy has been telling us, is it the truth? First Chronicles 23, the very first verse. We read about Abraham. Now watch what it say about David. First Chronicles 23, verse 1. So when David was old and full of days, he made Solomon his son king over Israel. And he gathered together all the princes of Israel with the priests and the Levites. This is what David would do. Because he was full of days, what that means? He lived out the expectations of his life. And when you want to have the knowledge, oftentimes we might die at 70, we might die at 50, we might die at whatever age. But really, is that did we die in our fullness? Was that Is that the age that we were expected to go to? And if it was not, what was it that shortened our days? And I could assure you, your days not only can be shortened, but your days are shortened. And oftentimes, you only have one to blame for your days to be shortened, and that's yourself. You also read this about David in 2 Chronicles. Let us turn there. 2 Chronicles 24. Still dealing with the knowledge of life. But who want to live out the fullness of their days? No, we got people too busy trying to get younger. Why are you trying to get younger? Instead of fulfilling your days. And this is not David, but watch what this says in 2 Chronicles 24 and 15. It says, but Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days when he died. 130 years old was he when he died. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings because he had done good in Israel, both toward Elohim and towards his house. And this is what he did. And just one more scripture I want to show you on this thing. How our enemies have just told us vain things instead of us trying to get younger, look younger, be younger. Really should be doing is trying to live out our time, our days, our years. And there are things the Creator gave us, which is called knowledge, to be able to do such a thing. In the book of Job 42, and this is what it says at the 12th verse. So Yahweh blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, 1,000 she asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he called the name of the first Yemima, the name of the second Keziah, and the name of the third Karin Hapuk. And in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job. And their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. After this lived Job 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. So Job died being old and full of days. So who don't want to be old and full of days? Well, Job was old and full of days. David was old and full of days. Jehoiada was old and full of days. Abraham was old and full of days. So why wouldn't you want to live out the days of your life? And ask yourself, as you see people go, and many have left us, did they live out their years? Or were there... Oh, was their years snatched from them because of certain things? And let's look at the things that the Creator would teach us and show us that will snatch days from your life. One of the greatest things that we find is what the priest tried to teach us in the book of Leviticus, the 10th chapter. And for some strange reason, people have no regard for this at all. You'll find this in the book of Leviticus. And we're talking about the knowledge of life. And we've seen people who lived out their days. Now, is it because they were not in captivity? Is that why they lived out their days? No, they had troubles just like everybody else. But watch this in the book of Leviticus, the 10th chapter. And at the end, you want to ask yourself, what do I really care about life? Watch what it says in the book Leviticus, the 10th chapter, the 8th verse. And it says, and Yahweh spake unto Aharon, saying, do not drink wine, nor strong drink, thou, nor thy sons with thee, speaking of the priests. When ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die, it shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. And watch this 10th verse. And that ye, because this is the main purpose of the priest, and that ye may put difference between the holy and the unholy, and between the unclean and clean, and that ye may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which Yahweh has spoken unto them by the hand of Moshe. So in other words, Yahweh didn't want no priests that felt like they need to be high. They need to get a buzz on. They need to be on a different plane by drinking or smoking or something like that to teach the people. As if these things open up their channels of wisdom. No, what these things do is close your channels of wisdom. And the Creator said, no, I don't want y'all drinking when y'all come to teach our people, my people. Because I want them to know the difference between the holy and the unholy, the clean and the unclean. And if you don't know the difference, then what's going to happen is that you're going to shorten your days. A lot of people, when they live their time out sick, and they go before their days are full. And ask yourself, why do we really have to be sick? Why do we have to be diseased? Disease just means dis-ease. And a lot of our people are diseased, but they don't know what to do. They don't have the knowledge of how really to be clean. But Yahweh have that knowledge. And Yahweh has been giving us that knowledge, but we have rejected it. We have greatly rejected this knowledge. And all through the scriptures, Yahweh would tell us things such as in the book of Deuteronomy 14. Turn there. In the book of Deuteronomy 14, starting at the first verse, it says, ye are the children of Yah, your Elohim. Ye shall not cut yourselves, nor make baldness between your eyes for the dead. For thou art an holy people unto Yahweh, thy Elohim. And Yahweh have chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself, above all the nations that are upon the face of the earth. And watch what it says. Thou shalt not eat any abominable thing. And this is one of the places we got to start. Our eating habits. We have some of the most abominable eating habits that exist. We eat things that won't even spoil. How you gonna eat something that won't spoil? We eat things that people tell us that is one thing, but then we find out it's a whole nother thing. We eat things that when you read the ingredients on it, you can't even pronounce the words. We eat things that it's either got to be a refrigerator, it's got to be a freezer, it's got to be something that just keep it longer than what it really needs to be kept. We just, and Yahweh commanded us, thou shalt not eat no abominable thing. And then we wonder why we're sick. We wonder why we are unclean, unholy, and then defiled. And these are the things, these are just part of the things that bring us to a shortened demise of our life. And we have not disciplined ourselves just to do what the Most High told us to do. And we have not considered and regarded the most important things in life. And there's various things in life that is just essential to life. And one of those things is food. Watch what the Creator lets us know. Speaking of food, in the book of Genesis, Genesis 2, I want to start there because I want you to see the very thing that a lot of people don't even have regard for. Ain't even considering, ain't even thinking about it. And watch what it says. In the book of Genesis, the second chapter, the fourth verse. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. In the day that Yahweh made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For Yahweh Elohim had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground, but there went up a mist from the earth, watered the whole face of the ground. And Yahweh Elohim formed man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And so how did this happen? Well, it happened at the same time Yahweh watered the earth. And you notice when Yahweh watered the earth, not only did he water the face of the ground so all the trees and all the plants can grow, all the herb of the field, at that same time, the Almighty breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. And watch that, a verse. And Yahweh Elohim planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed amongst a bunch of trees, amongst a bunch of herbs. And here it is. We serve an enemy that will tear down all the trees and tear up all the herbs. Here it is today. We got some good, pure herbs, but they will take the herbs because they so wicked and so evil. Put it in a bottle and then sell it to you, because they don't want you to go out and get the herb. They just take the herbs for themselves, put it in bottles and sell them. Just like what they would do with water. They would monopolize the water and then sell it to you. Now, just to have water running in your house, you got to buy it. Just to bathe, you got to buy it. Just to drink some, you got to buy it. just to cook and boil something, you have to buy it for that to happen. A lot of people think, well, the most precious commodity on earth is silver or gold or copper or diamonds and rubies. And well, the most precious commodity on earth is water, because water is essential to life. Why do you think they control it? People think it's oil. Man, oil is not more valuable than water. What it says. And out of the ground made Yahweh Elohim to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which let you know that even the very thing that can give you life, which is called the tree of life, was food. It was food. But also the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that's also food. And every time we put some of these cookies and donuts and cakes and pies and beer and liquor and cigarettes, all the tobacco, and what you think you're eating? Well, let me tell you what it's called in the scriptures. The knowledge of good and evil. You eating right from that tree. Instead of the tree of life. The very thing that will give you life. And I just want you to see a couple things about life, since we're dealing with the knowledge of life. In the book of Genesis, the 9th chapter, turn there. And look what the Creator tell Noah. And we're going to start at the very first verse. And Elohim blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be food or meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things. So here the Creator is letting Noah know some that he abolished during our lifetime, and that is, we can't eat every moving thing that liveth. The Almighty gave us a strict dietary law. But what was the same during the time of Noah is the same during every generation, even all the way until now, is the fourth verse. And watch what it says. But the flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. And surely the blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man, and at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of Elohim made he man. So what is this letting us know? Well, what this is letting us know is how important, how essential the blood is. We had a law in the book of Leviticus, the 17th chapter, turn there. See, when the Almighty breathed the breath of life into our nostrils, and man became a living soul, where do you think that breath, the word breath just means spirit or wind, where do you think it's housed? Well, it's housed in your blood. Now, who will concern themselves with blood and with the blood? As a matter of fact, that's the first thing contaminated, the first thing defiled, the first thing that becomes unclean as a result of our choices. It is, the blood is on the inside of us. So you know we got to do and make choices outside of us in order for us to defile it. Watch what it says in the book of Leviticus 17. And this is what it says in the 11th verse. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I've given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. So therefore, this is why when the Creator will have us make a sacrifice to Him, it's the blood that will make the atonement. It is the blood. Why? Because Yahweh said He requires the life of every man and the life of every beast. And what is the life? The life, what do it say? For the life of the flesh is in the blood. That's where it is. And as I said before, who care about your blood? Undoubtedly, the vast majority of the people have this same regard, because if they had this regard, then why would they defile themselves? Why would they pollute themselves? And why would they become unclean when they know the blood is the life? The one thing that you should be protecting is the very thing you are exposing all kind of contamination. And you might ask yourself, well, so why is that so important? Why is that essential to know? Why is this considered the knowledge of life? Well, watch what the Creator said in the book of Psalm 24. Here it is, people want to live. They want to live, But at the same time, they don't want the knowledge to show them how to live. They just want to live according to how they want to live. But they don't want to live according to the way Yahweh has ordained for life. And if life itself, which is the spirit, which is the breath, which is the ruach, the life of the flesh is in the blood. Watch what it says in Psalm 24. The earth is Yah's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. And watch what it says. We have founded it, talking about the earth now, upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend in the hill of Yahweh? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that have clean hands and a pure heart, who have not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from Yahweh and righteousness from the Elohim of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Yaakov Selah. And what do it mean, he that had clean hands? Well, clean hands is innocent hands. Clean hands is undefiled hands. And a pure heart is a sincere heart, a dedicated heart, a heart that is not given to his own lust and vanities. And if this is our desire, then you have to understand the building blocks of life. And how can you understand this without understanding how important blood is? Just the very thing we breathe can contaminate our blood. The very things we touch can contaminate our blood. And surely the very things that we eat can contaminate our blood. So as a result of this, what do Yahweh tell us to do? How do Yahweh teach us to live out our days? And what are some of the various things that we must do to protect our blood? Well, we must learn how to obey Yahweh. Watch what the Creator let us know in his law in the book of Leviticus, the 11th chapter. In the book of Leviticus, the 11th chapter, watch what it says in the 44th, or let's start at the 43rd verse, and watch what it says. Leviticus 11 and 43. Ye shall not make yourselves abominable with any creeping thing that creepeth, neither shall ye make yourselves unclean with them, that ye should be defiled thereby. For I am Yahweh your Elohim. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves. Can you sanctify yourselves without separating yourself? And ye shall be holy. For I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourself with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. For I am Yah that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your Elohim. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. This is the law of the beast, the fowl, and every living creature that moveth in the waters, and every creature that creepeth upon the earth, to make a difference between the unclean and the clean, between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten. And we must begin to learn how these things defile us, how they make us unclean, how they make us unholy. This is essential if we want to live out our days, if we want to stop disease. This is just part of the knowledge of life. And I wanted to begin here because what is salvation when you don't even know how to eat? You don't even know how to protect and guard your own blood. You don't know how to feed your own soul. These things are important. This is why the Creator let us know in the beginning. Watch what he said. Genesis, the first chapter. In the book of Genesis, the first chapter, and a lot of times people, they laugh at you, scorn you, because this thing, you realize this is the best way to live. Watch what it says in the book of Genesis, the first chapter, the 29th verse. It says, and Elohim said, behold, I've given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I've given every green herb for food. And it was so. And Elohim saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And so this is what Yahweh will bless us with on the sixth day. Since the sixth is when Yahweh commands his blessings. Look what it says in the book of Psalm 104. And this is what I found in my studies. There's only two things that I found that really can clean the blood. Well, three things. One is water. Water can clean the blood. That's why you really want to drink a lot of water. And water is good. And our bodies are mostly made up of water. But do you know what it takes for the average person to drink water? I don't like water. But this is your life. Yeah, I know, but I don't drink water. But this is your life. But not even it being their life, water is not regarded. The other thing that can clean the blood is herbs. The herbs, all the green herbs that bear seed, you will find in your studies, these are its purpose is to clean the blood and to keep it wholesome and to keep it uncontaminated. And you very seldom see herbs contaminating the blood. Now, there are certain herbs that will, but for the most part, no, they won't. But you'll see a bunch of animals that will tear the blood up. But watch what this says in the book of Psalms 104. Because we're dealing with the knowledge of life. And since the blood, or since life of the flesh is in the blood, then why don't we ever talk about it? In the book of Psalms 104, this is what it says. Start in verse, the ninth verse. No, let's start at the sixth verse. No, the fifth verse. Who laid the foundations of the earth, that it should not be removed forever? Covereth it with the deep as with a garment. The water stood above the mountains. At the rebuke they fled. At the voice of thy thunder they hasted away. They go up by the mountains. They go down by the valleys unto the place which thou hast founded for them. Thou set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. Speaking of the waters, he sendeth the springs into the valleys, which run among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. Asses quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation, which sing among the branches. He watereth the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, an herb for the service of man, that he may bring food, that he may bring forth food out of the earth. And this is something that we don't want. It says, 15 verse, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread with strengthening man's heart. And if we begin to learn the knowledge of Yahweh, then we will understand how important these plants, these herbs are. Because as they feed us, and as we feed ourselves with them, it's helping the very one thing that will sustain our life, which Yahweh told us to do anyway. And he told us to learn the difference between the clean and the unclean, the holy and the unholy. Did not he say, who shall ascend into the hill of Yah? He that have clean hands and a pure heart. And how can your hands be clean and your heart be pure when you guilty every single time you put something in your body, you put something in your mouth that you know is defiling you, that you know is polluting you, that you know is shorting your days? Now, I'm not telling you something that I personally have mastered, because I have not. But I know if I want to live out my days, this is something I must master. I must learn to do. Or less, my expectations is not to live long. And we have the knowledge. But are we going to take heed to the knowledge that the Creator has given us? Look in the book of Proverbs 15. Again, right now, what we the knowledge that we're eating today is the knowledge of good and evil. In other words, now this knowledge that we have, we don't know how to discern between one and the other. Therefore, we are plagued. We are plagued with knowledge that we only think is good, when knowledge is simple to the wise. Watch what this says in Proverbs 15, the 14th verse. The heart of him that have understanding seeketh knowledge. And this is what you have to do. The Creator said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. But the heart of him that have understanding seeketh knowledge. But the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. That's what they eat. A fool just eat a bunch of foolishness. It feeds on foolishness. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart have continual feasts. Better is little with the fear of Yahweh than great treasure and trouble therewith. A lot of people think money, riches, will bring them happiness. And that is not the truth. You got to read this. They think if I just had the money, then I can help Israel. No, you don't. That ain't the way you help Israel with money. The way you help Israel is with wisdom. And then with wisdom, you know what to do with money. Watch what it says. Better is little with the fear of Yah. I'm sorry. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. So we're going to have to, in these last days, recalibrate our whole systems. We're going to have to learn a different way. As a matter of fact, the scripture says he will bring us by a way that we knew not. And our people don't know. Our people have not considered the significance and the importance and how precious life is. And you can't talk about life without talking about the very place where Yahweh put the life at. He put it in the blood. And every day, the blood is being contaminated with things that will defile you and cause you to do things that are unholy. So now we have to start from the beginning. We must begin to rethink. And this, ain't this what Yahweh told us in the book of Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter? And let us read that. Deuteronomy 30. Watch what he says. In the book of Deuteronomy 30, first verse. And it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all nations, whether Yahweh thy Elohim had driven thee. In other words, we, even among our captives, we're going to call these things to mind. We're going to reconsider. We're going to be thinking about the way, hold up. This is a blessing, and this is a curse. This is holy, and this is unholy. This is clean, and this is unclean. These are the things that we're going to begin to learn if we call them to mind and shall return unto Yahweh thy Elohim and shall obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children with all thy heart and with all thy soul. This is what we have to do. Watch the 15th verse of this same chapter. It says, see, I have said before thee this day, life and good. Because what is the life? Well, the life of the flesh is in the blood. And he said before, it's life and good. And what is good? What is good are the very things that Yahweh gave us to sustain and make full our days. But he also said before us, death and evil. And every day we drinking death and we're eating evil. And we know it, but we still do it. But what's going to help you to stop? What's going to help you to overcome? What's going to help you to become established? Let me give you some advice and counsel of Yah. So go to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel, the 14th chapter. In the book of Ezekiel 14, and watch what it says. 22nd verse. It says, "Yet behold, therein shall be left a remnant that shall be brought forth, both sons and daughters. Behold, they shall come forth unto you, and ye shall see their way and their doings." In other words, you're going to see how they're living. You're going to see what they're eating. You're going to see what they're drinking. You're going to see the goings of their life. And you're only going to think one thing and one thing only after you see it, that they must be a part of the remnant. I know they're part of the remnant because look at their ways. Look at their doings. These people really try not to be unclean. They really try not to be defiled. Watch what it says. "And ye shall be comforted." In other words, you're not going to be jealous. You're not going to be envy-hearted. You're not going to be hateful. But you're going to be comforted concerning the evil that I brought upon Jerusalem, even concerning all that I have brought upon it. "And they shall comfort you when you see their ways and their doings. And ye shall know that I have not done without cause all that I have done in it, says Yah Elohim." And you might ask yourself, well, what are some of the ways? What are some of the doings? Let me show you what the prophet Ezekiel said. Show you what he said. And you'll read this in the book of Ezekiel, the 4th chapter. In the book of Ezekiel, the 4th chapter, the 9th verse. It says, "Take thou also unto thee wheat and barley and beans and lentils and millet, fitches, and put them in one vessel, and make thee bread thereof, according to the number of the days that thou shalt lie upon thy side. 390 days thou shalt eat thereof, and thy meat which thou shalt eat shall be by weight, 20 shekels a day. From time to time, thou shalt eat it. Thou shalt drink also water by measure, 6 part of a hin from time to time shalt thou drink. And thou shalt eat it as barley cakes, and thou shalt bake it with dung that cometh out of man in their sight." And watch what Ezekiel say about this. "And Yahweh said, even thus shall the children of Israel eat their defiled bread among the Gentiles, whether I will drive them." And this is what our people eating today. They eating a lot of dung and don't even consider it. Watch what it says. Then said I, Yah Elohim, behold, my soul have not been polluted, for from my youth up even till now have I not eaten of that was died of itself, or was torn in pieces, neither came there abominable flesh into my mouth. And our people eating abominable flesh every day. Then he said unto me, lo, I have given thee cow's dung for man's dung, and thou shalt prepare thy bread therewith. Even the prophet Ezekiel, this was astonishing to him, because from his youth on up, he was just trying to be holy, trying to be clean, trying not to be defiled. And not only him, and Ezekiel was a prophet in captivity. Watch what it says about Daniel in the book of Daniel, the first chapter. Because these are the things that our people really don't consider when they're eating things. I know what your heart is telling you. The heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. Who can know it? No, it's desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? And watch what it says. In the book of Daniel, the first chapter, starting at the 8th verse. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. And how many, this is something that they was trying to make Daniel eat. Nobody trying to make you eat nothing. You doing it of your own free will. Drinking things of your own free will. Nobody trying to make you eat nothing. I can see if you was in jail. I can see if you were somehow in the military or something where you didn't have many choices. But many of you all go to the store, go to the restaurant, and you willingly choose death and evil. When you know the life is in the blood. And once the blood becomes defiled, unclean, polluted, unholy, what do you think is going to follow? Yes, you're right. Death. Death will follow. Ninth verse, and Elohim had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuch. And the prince of the eunuch said unto Daniel, I fear my master the king who have appointed to me and your dream. In other words, this was something he's supposed to, he didn't have no choice. For why should he see your face as worse liking than the children, which are your sword? Then ye shall make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat, which is herbs, bearing seeds, and water to drink, then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he considered to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer, fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. Now, don't you see why Daniel did what he did? He didn't want to be defiled. And what was he guarding? What was he protecting? Well, he was guarding and protecting his life. Because one of the ways, because there's many ways, and there's many things to this thing called life. But one of the ways that you begin and guard your life, that your days may be old and full, is to learn how not to defile yourself. And to do that, you must learn clean and the unclean. You must learn about the holy and the unholy. These are the things that you got to know. Why shorten your lifespan? Why shorten your days? And why prevent yourself from coming near unto Yahweh? Why you think when people fast, Yahweh seems to hear? Why you think all the holy men will fast? And why do you think they made sacrifices of righteousness for the Most High? Well, it was for their life and the length of their days. We're talking about the knowledge of life. And we're going to be dealing with this. We in Yahweh's second year. The second represents his name. And there's no one that can represent Yahweh's name more and better than his people. But in order for his people to do so, in order for them to be the people that he ordained and chose them to be, they only can do it one way. And that is by bringing glory to his name. And you cannot bring glory to the Creator's name by being defiled, unclean, and unholy. So, until tomorrow, Yahweh love you, and so do I. Shalom.
confirmed. To you, my Yadu, I lift up my soul. And trusting you, he always kept me whole. And left my enemies deep in their holes. Let none that wait on Yahweh be ashamed. But shame on those who sin without a cause. Show me your ways, please teach me your laws. Oh Elohim of my salvation, I'm staying down impatient. As a child, all the while I'm waiting. Remember not the sins of my youth. Lead me in your truth and he'll give your soul ease. The earth shall remain inherited by a seed. The secret of Yahweh who fears Elohim, a fool believes everything. And to every word spoken, you can't take heed unless you hear somebody curse. You know you did the same thing. That's why I'm begging Yah for mercy. And it's love and kindness, cause I know that I ain't worthy.
It's true.